unsportsmanlike conduct on the offense number 14. Contacting an official. Number 14 is ejected.
Oh, on top of it, he's tossed.
Wow.
That 15-yard penalty will be assessed on the kickoff.
Well, good morning, Friendship. How are you this morning? Sounds like you're better than I am. man, I tell you what, it has been an interesting week. I'm going to sit down for some of our time today just simply because I am still trying to overcome a pretty nasty head cold. But we're going to be in part two today of unsportsmanlike conduct. Now, I absolutely love football. Those of you that know me in any way, shape, or form, you know that I love watching football. I love everything about football. One of the things that I find is most interesting is that usually in a game, when two teams are just going at it, and they're back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, at some point in time, especially, you know, if it's, the New England Patriots, somebody loses control, and somebody does something that they're not supposed to do. Right, and they just snap, or maybe it's a defensive lineman that gets taken down or gets chop blocked, and he goes nuts and he starts swinging. Which I never understood that. Why are you swinging a bare hand at a guy that has a helmet on? I've never understood that in my life. But you're swinging. I think that should be the penalty in and of itself. If you hit a guy with your bare hand, that's your penalty. You've got a broken finger. Go home. But and they just lose it, and their anger gets the best of them, and they lose control. And they end up getting an unsportsmanlike conduct, or they get an unnecessary roughness, or their whole team gets pushed back because of their inability to control an emotion called anger. And anger, really, that's all it is. Anger is just an emotion. There's really nothing more detailed to go into about anger. And quite frankly, if you're expecting to hear me say that anger is evil, I'm not going to tell you that. I don't believe that anger is evil. Anger is an emotion that's been given to us by God that has a rightful place in our life. There are times in our lives where anger is the appropriate response. Anger is the appropriate reaction to something that's going on because it violates something within the core of who you are. It violates, something within your belief system. Somebody has done something to someone that you love dearly, whatever the case may be, and anger may be the appropriate response. But here's the thing. Anger that is uncontrolled controls you. Anger that is allowed to just reign supreme turns into something very, very different that's called rage. Now, rage is something very different from anger. Rage is anger that is uncontrolled, unrestrained, unfettered. It's just, you just let it all hang out. Now, if you've ever been there, we're not going to have you raise your hands, but you know what it feels like, right? It's just like you are a fire hydrant, just letting it loose, and you don't care who it affects or who it hurts. You're just letting it out, and if you happen to be in the stream, you're going to get knocked off your feet because that's what rage does. It just kind of lets it all out. Rage, this is a simple definition of rage, a sudden, uncontrolled expression of violent anger. A sudden, uncontrolled expression of violent anger, and that's rage. Now, rage sometimes isn't even something that other people see. Sometimes rage can be inside of you that you don't let out until you're away from other people. You ever done that? You ever been raging on the inside? If you had that expression, that experience before where you're smiling at somebody, but in your brain you have just pummeled them to death? You ever been there? And you just got this man, it's just building up inside of you, and eventually at some point in time, what happens? It pops. And unfortunately, it often pops on those that we love and those that are closest to us. And so what I want to talk about this morning is how this idea of anger, how we can handle it, how we can control it in such a way that it doesn't turn into rage. And here's a couple verses, really the same verse in two different translations, because sometimes when you read it in different translations, different things jump out at you. So I want to read these two translations first in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. It says this, be angry and do not sin. Notice it says, do not sin by being angry. Notice it doesn't say that. It says, be angry, but do not sin. In other words, don't let it get to the point where you have moved past the emotion of anger, which sometimes can be a right emotion. And I know some people go, hold on a second, how can you say anger is a right emotion? Well, because we see that Jesus Christ expressed anger when people rejected God, when the temple was used for in a way that it wasn't supposed to be used for. And Jesus, the Bible says, in his anger, responded and overturned the tables and drove the people out of the temple. We also see his anger at different points, but it's always controlled. It's never out of control. And so I think what the writer of Ephesians is saying is, listen, don't let your anger get to the point where instead of you controlling your anger is controlling you. And then he finishes this way. He says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, don't let a day pass. See, here's the thing. Here's the key in understanding this, is that your anger is controlling you if you can't go to bed at night. If when you go to bed at night, you still are raging on the inside, then that means, guess what? Your anger is now controlling you. It's not the other way around. If you go to bed and you are still consciously processing what you're angry about, then there's something wrong on the inside. There's something that's not appropriate in how you're responding. Now, in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it says that, but in the New Living Translation, it puts it this way. I love this. And don't sin by letting anger control you. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let your anger get the best of you. And then he finishes it the same way. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. One of the greatest pieces of counsel, the greatest pieces of advice that if you are newly married or you're thinking about getting married or you're married and you've never heard it before is this. Do not go to bed angry with your spouse. Because guess what? You will wake up angry with your spouse. You go, oh, no, I don't. Oh, yes, you do. You just may not know it. They do. In fact, if you go to bed angry at your spouse, you'll probably have dreams about your spouse in a negative way, and you'll wake up more angry at them because they did something to you in your sleep. You ever woken up that way? It's like you're mad at them, and you're like, hang on a second. Was that a dream? That was a dream. Never mind. Like, let that go. They didn't really do that. And so don't let anger control you. Don't let it get inside of you. Don't let it dictate your actions. There's another verse, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17 says this. Fools have quick tempers. Fools have quick tempers. Now, I'm gonna be very honest with you. I have struggled my entire life with my temper. Anyone else want to be brave enough to join me? Okay, cool. Cool. Awesome. I'm not going to say anything to tick you off. I tell you that. But, you know, struggle with your temper. It is easy. Here's the thing. Let me just put it this way. It is easy to let anger control you. It's easy. It is not the macho, the manly, or the godly thing to allow anger to reign supreme. It is not something that anyone really wants to be around, because the second part of that verse reveals something very, very clear about a person who cannot control their temper. Look, watch this. Fools have a quick temper, and no one likes you if you can't be trusted. And you go, oh, well, hang on a second, time out. Trusted temper, what? Because they have no idea when you're going to lose it next. They have no idea. And if you are not in control of your anger will control you, and your anger will dictate when and how you respond to things, and therefore you are not a person who other people feel comfortable putting their trust in. And that's a difficult situation. That's something that when we really stop and think about it, it really puts a lot of weight to this whole idea of having a temper. Because the Bible says fools lose their temper. People don't trust fools. People that have tempers are under the control of their anger, and therefore no one can know what reaction they're going to get. So here's the big idea. Uncontrolled anger leads to unpredictable reactions. Uncontrolled anger leads to unpredictable reactions that undermine your character. Uncontrolled anger leads to unpredictable reactions that undermine your character. I did an interesting little research on what happens to our bodies when anger takes control. Because the Bible goes on and on about how anger is something that is dangerous to us. Anger is something that works from the inside of us. Anger, when it takes control, can destroy things. And so I thought, you know, emotions tend to have a physiological reaction to our body, or cause our body to have a physical reaction. And so I was reading this, and I just want to share this with you. I think it's really interesting, because when anger takes control, it literally takes control of your entire being, including your physical body. Listen to this. When anger is control, it takes over everything. It floods your body with adrenaline. So your body, when you get angry, you ever feel that rush of power when you start letting anger out? That's adrenaline. Now here's the problem. When your body is filled with adrenaline, it feels powerful. But when your body is emptied of adrenaline, it leaves you exhausted. And so literally, when anger takes control, it fills you with really a false sense of power, and then it leaves you empty. It heightens your fight or flight responses. It takes everything. When anger takes control, it takes everything out of the idea of gray areas, and it's either positive or negative. And so there's no gray areas when anger takes control. It's fight or flight. It's like, listen, you need to make a decision. It's either punch him in the nose or run away as fast as you can. I mean, those are the only two options that really, when anger takes control. But even worse than that, listen to this. It actually, when anger takes control, it literally lowers your cognitive or logical reasoning. It literally, when anger takes control, your ability to think logically leaves you. Now, I know some of you that don't struggle with anger are looking around the room going, that's right. Don't forget that, you people that struggle with temper, you don't think logically when you're mad. Listen, we all get that way, right? And literally, when you allow anger to control, your ability to think logically leaves you. And then the last one is that your blood pressure, it's easy for me to say, your blood pressure explodes. When you get angry, what color does your face turn? Do you know why? Because your blood pressure just went through the roof. I mean, it just went nuts. And when you have your blood pressure explode, guess what happens? You end up being left with a headache. So let's just process this from a physiological standpoint. Let's just remove the whole spiritual thing out of it for just a moment. And just talk about how the fact that if you allow your anger to control you, your body goes through the whelm of emotions, the physiological struggle, as if it just got done running a marathon. That is essentially the weight and the energy that your body has to produce to be able to sustain that anger for any length of time. It literally begins to tear your body apart from the physiological part of it. But let's take a step back, because we're not just talking about the physical part. We're talking about your entire being, because God has called us to be transformed from the inside out. And so not only is this a physiological, but this is a spiritual issue. Because when you have uncontrolled anger, you have unpredictable responses, and those unpredictable responses undermine your character and your ability to be the man or the woman that God has called you to be. So not only is anger dangerous for you physically, but it's dangerous for you spiritually. It's dangerous for your character. So there are four things that I just want to walk you through that are very, very simple, that probably if you sat down and you said, okay, how can I get anger under control, you'd probably come up with them. But I want to connect them with the truth of the Word of God so that they are empowered to actually become reality in your life. Because you can probably go on some website and go, how can I get anger under control? It'll give you all sorts of different little things that you can do and self-help and whatever. But that is really just the emotional side of anger. We want to really deal with the entirety, the spiritual side of it that affects every other part of your body. The first one is this. You need to slow down. Slow it down. I say this all the time, and it probably gets me in trouble, but take a deep breath, you know? You ever been around someone and that they're just like getting all like fired up? I know, don't point, but they're getting all fired up and you just go, dude, take a deep breath. I get looks sometimes when I say that. I'm not going to tell you, you know, who in my family I get looks from. Because it's all three of them, and then they say it right back to me. Listen, just take a deep breath. Slow it down. Take it. You know, one of the things I had to learn, especially when I was younger, is that when I felt that rush of power, of anger, of rage begin to come, I had to slow it down. I had to, in my mind and in my heart and in my spirit, try to slow down. I want you to see what the Bible says. James 1:19 and 20 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. That is a really powerful, if you are a person, this is a verse that was powerful in my life in struggling with temper. And it's gotten to the point now where I am someone that really struggles very, very hard, or works very, very hard at being very slow to speak. I take my time, because one of the things that often happens is if that you have a quick temper, you probably have a quick mouth too, right? And you've probably got a fast-thinking brain that can come up with cuts and slams and undercuts and things like that, man, they pop out, and you're like, it's coming out of your mouth, and you're going, no, don't, too late. And you're in trouble. And so here's the thing that I had to learn to do, and that was just take my time before I spoke, make sure and measure your words. And James says, listen, everyone should be slow to speak. And what's interesting is that you learn to become slow to speak by being quick to listen. If you are in a conversation and you are hearing yourself more than you are hearing the other person, there might be a problem. I remember way back in the day, an old pastor said, God has given you two ears and one mouth. Use them in ratio. Listen twice as much as you talk. But here's the thing that James says. He says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and then he says, slow to become angry. Do you know one of the things that we often buy into? We buy into this idea that if we're angry and we vent, right? You've heard that. I'm sure you've not used that expression. But we vent, and we think that it feels better. But do you know that if you will calmly process through that, that actually is the number one more healthy and more spiritually wise way to go about it? Because when we vent, we end up saying things that we regret, because we weren't slow to speak, we weren't quick to listen, and we quickly became angry. Thomas Jefferson, our third president, said this. I think it's a really kind of a funny quote. He says, if you're angry, count to 10 before you speak. If you're really angry, count to 100. In other words, just don't speak when you're angry. Just shut your mouth. Slow it down. Don't be in a rush to speak. Proverbs 18:13. If you need a verse to tattoo on the backside of your eyelids, or you need a verse to put on a 3x5 card, you know, to carry around with you, you need a verse to write in lipstick across your mirror in the morning while your kids are running around like chicken with their heads cut off and underwear on their head and not listening to you and all these things, listen to Proverbs 18:13. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. I love the Bible, don't you? I mean, just like, listen. It's dumb to shoot your mouth off before you know everything that's going on. Don't allow your mouth to get ahead of your spirit, allow your spirit to find out what's going on. So slow it down. Second thing is think it through. Think it through. In the heat of the moment, almost all the time, bad decisions are made. In the heat of the moment, almost all the time, bad decisions are made. Rarely, when you're angry or upset or overwhelmed, you make wise decisions. Usually, if you're angry, upset, or overwhelmed, every decision that you make is a short-sighted, short-term decision. It's usually made to get out of the situation. Have you ever said something that was tantamount to a verbal grenade? You know what I'm talking about? You're in a discussion with somebody, and you're tired of having that discussion, and you go, oh, yeah? Blink. And you wait for it to explode so that the conversation can be over with. Because you made a bad decision, you were tired of having the conversation, so you said something to end the conversation because you were tired of having the conversation. That's a bad decision, by the way, if you weren't aware of that. That's a bad decision. Because what ends up happening is the repercussions of that statement or the repercussions of that decision do not stay within that conversation. They reverberate throughout the entirety of the relationship that you have with that person. And if it's somebody that you're married to, that decision and that situation continues to reverberate throughout your entire marriage. If it's your children, that conversation, that thing that you said, that thing that you did, reverberates through the entirety of the relationship with that child. And you go, well, that was just a short-sighted decision. Yes, it was a short-sighted decision that had long-term consequences. Because in the moment, in the heat of the moment, rarely do we make good decisions. One of the things that Tracy and I, when we were first married, we made a decision earlier on that we were not going to make any big decisions in the heat of the moment. We would always sleep on it, at least 24 hours. We would wait on it 24 hours. Now, sometimes we felt like that bit us in the butt because, you know, 24 hours came around and that decision wasn't available to us anymore. And we were like, oh, God, you told us to wait for 24 hours. I can't believe you had us wait for 24 hours. We missed out on this great deal. And then, you know, years later, we discovered it wasn't so great of a deal. And we were very thankful that we missed out on that. When you make decisions, it's really, really wise to take your time and think it through. Because here's what's also true. In the heat of the moment, you may have all the information, but you may not be processing it correctly. Look at this. Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and what? And remain silent. Now, notice what it says. Remember, we got to go back to one of the first verses we used. Don't let anger control you and therefore remain sinful all night long. But instead, if there's a decision to be made, do not allow it to get to the point where you cannot think and process through things clearly, because you may not have all the facts, or you may have all the facts, but because you are not calm, you're unable to think through them clearly. Have you ever made a decision in the heat of the moment that within less than 24 hours later, you so regretted making that decision? Anyone? Okay, good. Just a handful of us. Yeah. Because that's the way that it works. And so what you need to do is not only slow it down, but secondly, think it through. Give it time to breathe. Third thing, talk it out. Talk it out. Sometimes this means talking with someone else. Sometimes it means talking it through with yourself. Now, it doesn't mean having this weird conversation, you know, that you're back and forth, maybe out loud. Maybe it's an internal conversation. And you ask yourself, how is this going to sound if I say this? What are the possible repercussions if I do this? Well, how do I do this, and how do I process through this? And so you kind of talk it out. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11 says this. Fools give full vent to their rage. If you are a person that tends to just let it all hang out, or you like to vent, this is a verse for you. If you want to be known as a fool, continue to give full vent to your anger and rage all the time. Because I promise you, if they don't think it now, eventually the people around you will think that you're a fool because you continue to give full vent to your rage. Notice how he finishes it. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. You see, when we allow rage to control us, we allow anger to control us. Anger is not looking for the situation to be resolved. Anger is looking to win. And if you are engaged in a conversation with somebody else, how do you win the conversation? They don't talk anymore, right? Because you got the final word. Here's the problem with that. If the conversation stops, resolution cannot be discovered. Resolution can't be found. Because only when two people are communicating can you bring it through. The next verse I want to show you is Proverbs 1, verse 5. A wise man will listen and increase his learning, and a discerning man will obtain guidance. Here's the thing that you can use if you choose to, that I have taken myself. It's not something that originated with me. It's something I read somewhere. I don't remember, many, many years ago. But oftentimes we get angry because we don't have all the information, or we are perceiving that somebody is saying something in a way that offends us or hurts our feelings. One of the best things you can do is ask a question. Can you explain to me what you meant by that? Can you tell me what's going on? Did you mean to say X, Y, Z? Because when there's clarity, you can have a greater conversation, and when there's clarity, you can find resolution. When there's continued heightened emotions, rarely can you find either. So ask questions, because a wise man will ask questions to discern understanding, and a wise man brings calm in the situation. So slow it down. Think it through. Talk it over. And one of my favorite phrases on all the world, let it go. Just let it go. Let it go. Now, I know, those of you, I know, like, listen, I'm with you. Ragers Anonymous right here, okay? You go, let it go. Are you out of your mind? You know what they did. Listen, let it go. Just let it go. And here's why. Listen to this. Proverbs 19:11. Sensible people control their temper. They will earn respect by overlooking wrongdoings. They will earn respect by overlooking wrongdoings. You see, letting something go or extending forgiveness to someone who's hurt you or someone that you're angry with says more about your character than anything you could ever say in your anger. So often we say things in our uncontrolled anger that we regret for years. For years. Maybe for the rest of our life. You can always come back to something after the emotion has faded, and after you can think logically, and after you can process. But if in the moment you are not willing to go, okay, I am not going to respond to that. Because if I respond to that, it's not going to be a verbal grenade. It's going to be a verbal nuclear weapon. And I'm going to let that go for right now. Not to hold it over their head later. I know some of you are going, oh, I'll hold on to it because it's the bomb. It is awesome. It is the get out of jail free card later on in life. Now, maybe to address it later and go, do you know how that came across to me? But you let it go in that moment so that you can maintain your composure, so that you can deal with it, or maybe even so that you can just let it go and move forward. You go, why would I ever do that? That's insane. Why would I give up any leverage that I have in that relationship? Because that's exactly what Christ did for you. You see, Jesus could have been angry with you. He had every right to be angry. In fact, quite frankly, he had every right to allow his anger to bring its fullest extent. The Bible says that God hates sin, and yet all of us are sinners. All of us, from the moment that we were conceived as two parents who came together, who procreated, who were sinners, guess what? When two sinners get together and have a kid, guess what that kid is? The kid's a sinner. Unlike math, you can't make two positives a negative, or two negatives a positive. It just doesn't work. Those of you that aren't mathematicians, you look it up later, you'll get that. But it just doesn't work. And so we're all born sinners. We're all born against the will of God. We're all born filled with this thing that God says he hates, and the reason that he hates it is because it separates us from him. There's a great passage in the Bible in Titus chapter 3, and I tell you, I love the way the Bible is just blunt sometimes. Titus 3 says this: we used to be stupid. Used to be. Disobedient and foolish, as well as slaves to all sorts of desires and pleasures. We were evil and jealous, and everyone hated us, and we hated everyone. Well, that sounds like somebody you want to be in a great friendship with, don't you? This is what we all were. The Bible says this is what we were. And yet, in spite of how we were, in spite of the fact that this is what our lives were filled with, the Bible says that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to pay for your sin and my sin, and to offer each of us forgiveness. And in that forgiveness, when we receive it, God lets it go. In fact, God just doesn't let it go. He lets it go, and then he washes us clean. The rest of that verse goes like this: God sent Jesus Christ, our Savior, to give us his Spirit. Jesus treated us much better than we deserved. He made us acceptable to God and gave us the hope of eternal life. You know, anger is something that's very difficult to get control of. It's very easy to let it control us. The problem is that that uncontrolled anger leads to unpredictable responses which undermine our character. It keeps us from becoming the men or the women that God has called us to be. And so as we think about that and we process this last part of being able to let it go and move forward, in that moment when you are contemplating and you're going, man, I really want to respond in anger to this, remember that if God had responded in anger to you, you would be without hope. Maybe that person that you want to respond to anger at just needs a little bit of hope in their life. And by you extending the same grace that God extended to you, you are pointing the way for hope. This morning, maybe you've never taken that step and accepted the hope of Jesus Christ. You've never accepted the forgiveness that Jesus Christ extended to all mankind through the gift of his salvation, his death on the cross, and paying for your sins. And so today, I'd like to invite you to do that. Because one of the things that the Bible tells us is that God's purpose and God's plan is to infuse us with Jesus Christ so that day by day we become more like him in every way. with the power of the Holy Spirit working through us, changing us from the inside out. And so I'd like to invite you today to accept Jesus Christ. Nothing special that you have to do other than believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and accepting his gift of forgiveness. And I'd like to invite you to do that today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Dear God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to be here today. We thank you for the gift of emotions. And Father, sometimes those emotions can get out of control. Those emotions can begin to control us. And one of those is anger. And God, for some of us here today, we have allowed anger to get way too much control in our lives. And God, I pray that the truth of that statement would really resonate in our hearts, that that uncontrolled anger leads to unpredictable responses and undermines our very character. And God, we would begin to work through that process of slowing it down and thinking it through and talking it out. And God, maybe even letting it go. Not letting it go because that person has earned it or deserved it, but letting it go because that's exactly what you did for us. God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you let go of all of our sin, all of our shame. And God, you gave us the opportunity of hope. Hope of a new life, a new opportunity to be all that you've called us to be. And God, today, if there are people here, if there's someone here who has not accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray in the quietness of this moment that they would just talk to you, God, in their heart and their mind to you. Dear God, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he died for my sins, and I ask for forgiveness. I ask, God, that you will let go of my sin. Let go of my past. Give me a fresh start. Help me to live my life for your Son, for your name, for your glory. Father, for those who have struggled with anger, I pray that today would be one of those tipping point moments that they see the reality of what anger is doing in them and in their hearts and in the lives of those around them, and they'll begin to day by day work through this process and to allow you to fill them and control them instead of the anger. I pray that they let it go in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, if you prayed and accepted Jesus Christ, I'd like to ask you to do something. On the bottom of your connection card, the bottom left-hand side, there's just a little thing that says, "Today I accepted Jesus Christ." I'd like to ask you to mark that as you drop that in the offering plate as it comes by later this morning. The reason we ask that is so that we can send you some information to help you on your new walk with Jesus Christ. And if you let go of some anger today, my prayer for you is that you would just let it loose as we worship God together and sing, "Let's Stand Together."